You're listening to Stephen Maggi, host of one of America's top interview programs, The Stephen Maggi Show.
Hello again, and thanks for joining me. I'm Stephen Maggi. Today's show features a couple of powerful personalities. Later in the program, you will meet a very funny lady, Ms. Lonnie Love. But up first, your first call when the unthinkable happens. Well, we all hate that idea that we'll be in trouble someday and need somebody real bad, but if you get caught by the police doing something you shouldn't be doing, whatever, you got that one call. The person you want to call is our guest, Ira Jettelson. He's written a really fascinating book called The Fixer. He's a bail bondsman, one of New York's most prominent. For nearly 20 years, he's posted bail for dozens of the city's most notorious defendants slash celebrities, including athletes, hip-hop artists, moguls, and so forth. And this book just tells the story of what goes on in the life of a bail bondsman. Wyra, have you gotten a lot of calls to start out with, "I didn't do it, but"?
Yes. The funny thing in my industry is I've never taken a guilty person out yet. But people walk in my office, or I get a phone call, and I get them at their most vulnerable stages, families, friends, and they say, "Hey, help my loved one out. He's incarcerated. How fast can we get him out the door? What do I need to do?" And I start to make it happen.
Yeah, and it is important to make that right call, because I think a lot of people get into these situations, you know, you don't know something's going to happen, you don't plan for it, or you figure, "I wasn't really drunk," what have you, lo and behold, you were, or at least you were accused of that. You got to make that one important call. When you get that call on your end of it, Ira, what's the first thing to calm somebody down, get right to the point? Because I know you look at this like there's a process, and you got to go through the process to really serve the client.
Yes. I mean, I get the phone call anytime from day to night. I have three offices here in New York, and everything kind of shifts to my cell phone later on after that. So I get the phone call, and I start to vet the case to see even if I want to take the case. I get 20, 25 phone calls a day, and I might only do 3 or 4 or 5 bonds based out of my three offices on assessing the risk. And once I see that I feel it's a good risk, I start to tell the family what they're going to need, what jail they're in, who's their lawyer, what type of collateral are you going to put up, and we start to make the process work because we want to get that guy out or female out as soon as possible.
I think a lot of people have your business wrong. They assume you're going to take anybody, and really you do have to look at it because every one of these is a risk, right? I mean, you don't want to get into some place where you're not going to see that money again or whatever, and you've got a reputation to uphold as well.
Well, I mean, you know, years ago when the economy was at a different place, you know, we would go to the bank and we'd go buy a house and we'd be able to get a mortgage or whatever we needed very quickly. I got to make that decision in 5 or 10 minutes. Banks were taking, at that point, you know, a couple weeks. Now you can't get a mortgage nowadays. Sometimes it could take up to 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And I got to make that decision relatively very quickly. And when I get a case, I assess the risk. I assess what they're charged with, you know, who's signing for the bond, what they're putting up. It's a difficult task, and it's a lot of sleepless nights. I have a lot of money that I've, a lot of bonds that I've kick over from 1 to 2 to 3 years, and then I do more and more cases all the time. So, you know, and you're dealing with people that, you know, sometimes might not be honest with you all the way through.
Yeah, exactly. And you deal with a lot of celebrities. How does that go in a place? I mean, because they're a celebrity, is that usually a better risk because, first of all, they probably have the cash, and second of all, they have a certain reputation, or is it go through the same exact process as with anyone else?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be quite honest with you. When you get the celebrity, which I've done a tremendous amount of celebrities here in New York, they're a better risk. They're, you know, again, you don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, they're going to be here and do what they have to do to fight their cases. I've done a lot of different bails for, you know, Lawrence Taylor, Ja Rule, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, Plaxico Burress, Cat Williams, the late and great ODB. So, I mean, yeah, those cases always, you know, were my good cases, and they always came back. But listen, my bread and butter is the day-to-day grind. It's the people that need me, and the alleged gangs, the alleged underworld. That's my day-to-day grind, and my family's very much involved in my business. I got three young children that ask me every day, "Hey, Dad, you know, who you bailing out today? And please don't take somebody out really bad." And, you know, my wife is sitting there, and I coach football and baseball, and I'm on the field, and the phone's ringing, and she's looking at me with those eyes, "Put the goddamn phone down." And I go, "Yeah, but, you know, if we want to live the life that we live you know, I got to take that phone call, and I got to make sure that that person, you know, I start the process in that case.
Well, you've got the reputation of being one of the very best, and a lot of people question what makes a good bail bondsman. You know, I think it's one of those things. We know we have to have these people, and we know they serve a purpose. Yet, I don't know that a lot of people understand, you know, what differentiates you from others. I mean, outside of being having the cash to do it, but there's a lot more to it, right?
No, yeah. Listen, it has nothing to do with the cash. I partner up with my insurance company to do these bonds. I think what separates me from a lot of different other bondsmen is my relationships with the other side, and my relationships with my defense attorneys, and my relationship with my clients. A lot of my business is predicated on defense attorneys. I walk into a courtroom, and I deal with judges and district attorneys, and they respect my work. They know it's a job, and I'm not just looking, you know, I'm not out there for the dollar. I want to make sure that my client gets back to court. And a lot of these DAs, they eventually go on the other side and become my clients also as defense attorneys. And more than anything, my clients. You know, I wear a lot of different hats in what I do. People think you start the business and you start the bond and that's where it ends. Not with me. I'm a life coach. I talk to my clients. I'm an employment agent. I try to get them work. I'm a rabbi and a priest where they tell me, hey, you know, hey, Ira, listen, this is what I did, and I might have to go lay down for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. You know, make sure I just want to see my kids before I go away, and I just want to get my wife set up or my mom set up before I go in. And that's what I do, and I love what I do, and I like helping people. And I also want to make sure that, you know, my DAs and judges get them back to court and they do their jobs. So it's a mixture of a lot of things in my industry. I'm not Dog the Bounty Hunter. I'm not chasing people down, you know, out there. I have bounty hunters. I bountied in my day in the beginning. So, I mean, what I do is, you know, people want to get out of jail. They don't want to spend an extra minute incarcerated, and that's what I do.
Yeah, and I find that really interesting, the fact that you do way more than just, you know, put up the money, make sure they get back. We all get that. But this idea that you become everything from a counselor to a, you know, to an advocate, you know, helping people do these things. And I guess that's what separates you from the rest of the crowd. That's what makes you the fixer, as you say, because it's really about taking care of the client in kind of a holistic approach as opposed to just putting up the money to get them out.
People, as I've mentioned, you know, clients get their world turned upside down in less than a minute. And then the most powerful people, you know, they don't know what to do. Their heads are spinning. And I come in and I try to be the Valium. I try to calm them down. And that's what I do, and I love what I do. And when they come to me and I get them out, then, you know, afterwards they come into your world and they're shaken up and they're looking at you going, what am I going to expect? Do you have the floor plan? What's ahead of me? Do you have a crystal ball? And I try to tell them, you know, based on experience of 16, 17 years of being in the business, what I think's going to happen. And then they'll say to me, hey, Ira, I'm not very happy with my private investigator. Hey, Ira, I'm not very happy here. And I'll say, stick it out with your lawyer. And they'll, oh, no, you know, I need this or I need that. And I'll try to guide them and tell them what I think they should do. And, you know, they'll always ask me, hey, what do I, you know, what can I do? And I'll do the best I can. I can't lead them to water all the time, but I try. I try to help them because they need me, and that's when they need me the most. And I like giving back. That's what I like doing.
Do you have a whole source of lists of people from all different types of, you know, work, be it lawyers, be it whatever, that they may need through this entire process that you work with?
I work with everybody. You know, I work with everybody. I've dealt with, you know, legal experts, private investigators. I've dealt with attorneys. I started my own website. It's called jammedup.com. It's also going to be a mobile app, which will roll out in July. It's a phenomenal tool. It's free to any lawyer, any bondsman, any private investigator, any armed guard, any legal expert to sign up right now. And basically, it's one-stop shopping in the legal world. It's the Home Depot of the legal world. So if someone gets jammed up, they could find somebody. They could find what they need. It doesn't have to be criminal. It could be civil. It could be matrimonial. It could be anything.
Yeah, the jammed up is really an interesting concept, and I want to talk with you about that in just a few minutes. But I know one of the things you talk about is not just an easier ride through the courts, which everybody's looking for any way to, you know, make that a little easier to take, but also you can even help somebody with, if you're going to prison, maybe a better way to get through. Now, explain how you do that or what.
Well, I have I have three very dear friends right now that have started a group called Prison Consultation, and they help prisoners, state prisoners, prepare for what to expect, including their families, and, you know, from their commissary to keeping your head low to finding different ways to get out of prison earlier from different types of programs. I have a lot of clients that I stay very close to, because these are people that I've built relationships with over my years of in the industry. And, you know, I'll get a phone call or a letter, you know, a collect phone call or a letter from somebody inside saying, "Hey, Ira, how you doing? Blah, 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 man. My mom says hello. You know, can you help her out? She can't pay her phone bill." And I'll send them a couple $100, you know, just to let them know that I care and that, you know, life's not ending while they're incarcerated. And, hey, then there are times when, you know, I have a young man or a female that are going into jail that, you know, for the first time in their lives, and they have no idea what to expect, and they just lost 20 pounds, and they're walking in there, and I send a letter or their phone call is being made, and as soon as that guy gets into any of the jails here in New York, somebody walks up, gives him sneakers, a toothbrush, and says, "Don't worry about it. Your bid's going to be okay." And they're like, "Oh, what happened? Who's my guardian angel?" And it's Ira Juddleston, the fixer. And I get a letter or a card from a family saying, "You just made my son's life easier. I don't know what to do. Thank you." And that means a lot to me.
Yeah, do you have people that get mad at you, you know, out on the street saying, "Hey,
all
you know
what, these time.
Yeah, and they don't understand this is all part of the system. I mean, it's set up this way. It's an adversarial system, and this is a part of it, and it's, you know, it can frustrate us, but at the same time, that's what it's like to live in a country like this. And thank God there is a person that can get you out, because, you know, sometimes you might need it.
Well, I mean, listen, I get 20, 25 phone calls a day. I might take 3 or 4 bonds out of my 3 offices here in New York. And then, obviously, if I don't take the case, the word spreads throughout the jails of why isn't Ira Juddleston taking the case. And then, obviously, they think they're being blackballed. So I get some angry phone calls. And then also, hey, you know, they want to put up a car for collateral, and the car is not what I think it's worth. And they're like, no. And I say no, and then it gets people angry.
When we return, more with bail bondsman Ira Juddleston, one of New York's most prominent bail bondsmen and the author of The Fixer. You're listening to America's Great Conversations on The Stephen Manji Show.
Provocative guests, real interviews, surprising answers. This is The Stephen Manji Show.
I'm here with my good friend Logan Reed, who can change your life. That's right, she's a life coach, and I think you're going to like what she has to say. Logan, tell people what a life coach is.
So what I do is I partner with people to get clear on what their dreams are, what they really want in their life, and then what we do is we create the plan and the actions that actually have them create it and make it happen.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I can tell you, I work with Logan myself, and it's just a wonderful experience. I think you got to try it. Logan, how can people get a hold of you to learn more?
They can give me a call at 360-529-1848, or they could write me at logan@loganreedcoaching.com.
And finally, your website?
My website is www.loganreedcoaching.com.
You are listening to Ira Juddleston, the go-to guy when anyone from celebrities to made mobsters get their one phone call. As somebody who's worked in the penal system as much as anybody, I mean, you understand this from the moment somebody gets arrested from that point on. What recommendations would you make? Because our system is pretty messed up. I mean, I think everybody can agree on that. What kind of things would you like to see them do that maybe would make this whole thing better, you know, not only for the prisoner, but obviously, but also for the state of justice?
Well, I mean, listen, the penal system is set up in a way that, you know, people look at it. Every state is different. I put some tips down in my book of what to, you know, expect. You know, the best thing I could tell you is try to hang out with the right crowd. You know, don't hang out with garbage. Put yourself in the right surroundings. You know, make sure your license is always current. Make sure that it's not suspended. You know, make sure you're doing the right thing. As far as the system itself, I mean, I follow the system. You know, they've changed some laws over the years, you know, to make the system a little bit better. I believe that legal aid attorneys that work for the state have really, you know, done a great job and done what they had to do to get their client the best counseling that they can get. And the private attorneys also out there, they've done a great job.
Okay. You know, a lot of people that heard you were going to be on, I know they're going to want me to ask about bailing out celebrities, because that's one of the things that, you know, makes you stand out as well. You work with a number of these. I mean, household names like Lindsay Lohan, 50 Cent, you said ODB, what have you. Who's been one of the more interesting ones? What was kind of the weirder cases that you've been involved with that, you know, you had to, you know, like calm them down and you really to look out for them and, you know, kind of save them from themselves, I guess?
Well, I mean, listen, I've dealt with Lawrence Taylor. As I said, I've dealt with Plaxico Burress, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, and a lot of different celebrities. I would say the one that stands out would be DMX, a.k.a. Earl Simmons. I've built a relationship with Earl years and years ago. I bailed him out, and he had some issues, and he whether he forgot his court date or didn't think it really meant anything, but Earl had jumped his bond, and, you know, we had to work on getting Earl back, and Earl was looking to do some concerts all over the country, and we had some issues, but we worked it out. And then, you know, Earl hopefully is getting his life together now. He ended up spending some time in a Phoenix prison. He ended up spending some time, I believe, in a South Carolina prison. Mm-hmm. I built a great relationship with his wife. We talked a little bit about trying to get Earl, you know, some help that he needed, and hopefully he's getting his life together.
Didn't he crash your niece's birthday party?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes. Earl needed to sign some paperwork for me. He had a time management problem. I couldn't get together with him for a few days. Finally, we reached each other. I was on my way to my niece's birthday party up in Connecticut, and I said, Earl, I go, what are you doing? You're killing me, my man. And he said, oh, man, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm headed up to my niece. Where are you going? It's in Danbury. I'll meet you there. Next thing I know, there's screaming and yelling in the mall. And, you know, people are going crazy, and they're following them. And the next thing I know, I got him and his family in Build-A-Bear. I guess they're building bears with my niece. My niece was a little shocked, but it ended up working out for the best. He bought my niece some beautiful gifts.
That's a great story. You were mentioning before, this is something that consumes your life. It's going on, you know, minute by minute. You never know when you're going to deal with it. Wasn't there a story where your wife was giving birth and you were trying to deal with something all at the same time?
Yes. My wife has given birth on three major takedowns in the alleged organized crime business. And one of them where, I got to be honest with you, my wife was telling me that if I pick up that phone, there's going to be major damage to my body. But the phone was ringing, and it was one of my clients, and I had my wife's leg in one hand, and I had the phone in the other hand, and I was telling one of my clients, don't worry, you're going to be out in the next hour. My wife was screaming, if I don't put that phone down, she's going to go crazy. And I ended up telling that client, I'm going to get out. My wife gave birth to my beautiful son, and boom, 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 boom. Next thing later, about 2 hours later, my client was out the door.
Wow. Well, you mentioned, you know, you have some people from the underworld as well. Kind of tough dealing with these folks because they look at the law a little differently.
Well, listen, everybody deserves a chance to get out and fight their case on the outside. I have great respect for people and what they, you know, what they need to do to get out the door. I'm not judging jury. And that's the one thing I realized a long time ago. If the collateral is there and I assess the risk as someone being a good risk and I vet the case, then that's what I do. I am not looking beyond that scope. You know, people need me, you know, and that's what I do. And they also understand that I have a relationship, and it's a business relationship.
When we return, you'll hear more from Ira Gentleson, who for nearly 20 years has posted bail for dozens of the city's most notorious defendant celebrities, including athletes, hip-hop artists, moguls, and media personalities, as well as thousands of common and not-so-common criminals. This is The Stephen Maggi Show.
Thought-provoking questions and fascinating conversations. This is The Stephen Maggi Show.
Don't forget to mark your calendars for October 1st. That's the day this show becomes Vegas Never Sleeps. In it, I'll be covering everything Vegas, including the stars, the restaurants, the special events, the history, and more of this internationally known entertainment capital. If you've visited, you'll understand, and if you haven't, you'll get a taste of what you've missed.
Waste Management has earth-friendly plans that fit the biggest corporations and recycling programs to help smaller companies get started. We're there for you every night and on the job with you every day. When you put Waste Management to work, you get an environmental partner and big ideas for every size business. From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think Waste Management. To learn more, visit WM.com.
You are listening to Ira Gjedelson, whose book, The Fixer, is a tell-all that dishes on high-profile clients from a career as the most famous bail bondsman of our time. Ira, we were just discussing some of the inherent dangers of working in your business. That's got to wear on you.
And my kids get worried about that, too. You know, my kids get worried. I got three beautiful children from the ages of 12 to 6. They're very involved. They're very extroverted, involved in my business. My daughter actually, believe it or not, helped find a bail jumper, which is in the book, which is a great story. My daughter was in summer camp and so involved in actually finding out the name and told me to go on Facebook. And I got to be honest with you, I don't go on Facebook. We ended up finding the client in North Carolina because my daughter said, "Hey, Dad, he's talking to somebody in North Carolina." I had no idea. Turned it on to my bounty. My bounty turned it on to a U.S. Marshal. Next thing you know, we had the guy in 6 days.
Wow, and that's what a great thing for your business, too. Now you've got a whole other avenue that you weren't aware of before, and you know, you've got somebody with the skills. That's got to be great.
Yes, I do. I mean, you know, I try to shield my children from my industry and do the best I can, but we're constantly on my cell phone, you know, listening to cases, finding out, you know, when he got arrested, who, you know, what's the charge, who's going to bail him out, what do they do for a living, is the defendant a United States citizen? What's the parents do for a living? What's the cousin do for a living? Who's the judge? Is the DA, you know, basically asking for a nebbia hearing? And this goes on all the time, phone call after phone call. And then I get, you know, other people walking up, knocking on my door. People were living in my neighborhood. "Hey, Ira, listen, I got a little situation with my mother, and I got a situation with my cousin." And then, you know, that's where The Fixer comes in. It's a great book. It really is a great book. I tell it through the eyes of a bail bondsman. There's a lot of different shows out there, you know, CSI and Law and Order and Cops and I could think of The Closer, and it's all pertaining to crime. But no one's ever seen it through the eyes of a bail bondsman, where he walks in and he's almost a very powerful figure in the courthouses, because he's walking in and he's the one that's getting you out of jail. He's the one that's making it happen. And I talk about the Dominique Strauss-Kahn case, which was a very big example of that, where the world came down to nobody at one point was worried whether, you know, Mr. Strauss-Kahn was guilty or not guilty, or was he going back to France, or was he going to Greece to deliver money, and what was the IMF going to do. Is when was he getting out? Is he getting out? Where is he going to live? Is the bond done? And the world stopped for about a week.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say this, Ira, because when I got the book and I started going through it, I thought to myself, this is a reality show that nobody's really done. I mean, as you say, there's a lot of things on television from the, you know, the criminal point of view, from the, you know, from the crime system's point of view. But I think that, you know, the bail bondsman is one place where you could take almost kind of an objective look at this thing, because, again, you're not proclaiming guilt or innocence. You're just saying, okay, this is the process. I've got to get this person out. How am I going to make sure they're going to show up? And has anybody approached you with that? Because it's just a great idea.
Oh, yes. We had a deal with Showtime that fell through as a scripted television show. I was working with a writer on a scripted television show, which I want to do again. And I've been approached, I got to tell you, from 2010 to now on reality and doc shows, you know, 20, 30 times. We're just looking for the right piece, because my story or the story of a bondsman needs to be done with someone that understands the world of crime. And we're talking to some two or three people that we really enjoy that I think might be able to get it. and those people are, you know, knocking at my door. But again, I really believe, you know, there's a show right now in Showtime called The Fixer, Ray Donovan. They call him a fixer out in Hollywood, which, you know, it's a great show, and I've watched it. But, you know, my world is fixing people's problems that are real.
Yeah.
That are real. This is real stuff. This is day-to-day stuff. This is the stuff that goes on every day, not the stuff that goes on in a Hollywood, you know, circus out there. This is the real stuff. And, you know, I love what I do. I enjoy what I do. And I also enjoy being a father, and I enjoy being a coach, and I enjoy being a husband.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, is one of your concerns, like, if they follow you around with cameras and stuff, you know, you've got a great reputation and so forth.
Yeah.
You don't suddenly want to cheapen this to somebody where they think, oh, it's just, you know, another reality show.
You know, that's a great, great synopsis. I've created a brand in my industry where, you know, I'm respected. And, you know, my attorneys respect me, and I believe law enforcement respects me, from judges to DAs to police officers. And I don't want to cheapen that, and I don't want to hurt my client. You know, some clients might want to go on, some clients might not.
Right.
And you know, some defense attorneys might want to go on, some might not. And that's to decipher that is a very important part of putting this show together if we're going to do it. And we're getting close, you know, because again, you know, helping people out. Sometimes good people just get jammed up in a bad situation, and you know, it ends up working out at the end. But that period of time is kind of tough.
Well, before we go, I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes about jammedup.com. I think
sure.
This is a really interesting idea. I don't think there's anything out there quite like it.
There is nothing out there.
Yeah.
There is nothing out there, and that's why we decided to do it.
Well, and let's talk about it. I mean, this is a place where if you don't know what to do and you're suddenly caught up in this thing, might be a good place to start.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of different types of apps that just handle lawyers. But when I got together with my partners, I said, let's put something together that people don't have to get off our app/online legal web service. They could find everything. I remember years ago there was a book. It said, Dummies for People That Don't Know Anything About Computers. And it kind of guided you into the world of computers. Now look at the world of social media. Now the world of the legal world is a $50 billion, you know, business. And when people get jammed up, you know, they might need a lawyer. Where do they go? You don't want to just find the first lawyer on the search. You might need 25 lawyers. If someone needs a bondsman, you might want to find the right bondsman. As you said, maybe it's hard to find an Ira Juddelson. You know, maybe you find somebody out there that's not, you know, up to speed. You might need a private investigator for whatever reason. You might need an armed guard. I mean, I bailed out Raymond Felton here in New York, a basketball player. You know, some of these NBA athletes could go to jammedup.com and find a private investigator that's licensed to carry. So then they could alleviate all their issues if they walk into a nightclub and there's somebody there, a legal expert. I know Donald Sterling, when that situation happened in California, what he said, they found four different people to do voice recognition, and you know, those are private people in the legal world. There's always DNA specialists. There's always a handwriting specialist. There's always, you know, people. Somebody called me 2 weeks ago and said, "My wife might be cheating on me. Can I find someone that does a private lie detector test?" I said, "Sure, we got him somebody for that." So, I mean, the legal world is amazing, and it could be just civil too, matrimonial, immigration. You can go down the line. Somebody always gets jammed up with something.
Yeah, well, and I know 20 years ago we had the O.J. Simpson case, and that's where people got familiar with all these various experts and so forth. And this just strikes me as a great way for the average person to get a little access on that. Because right now, I think what a lot of people do, Ira, is they get caught in that thing and they get a phone book out, and whichever ad interests them or they remember seeing on TV. I remember from the TV show Breaking Bad, you know, go see Time to See Sal or Saul or whatever it was. I mean, that's kind of how we do it. This is a way of looking there and, okay, these are my options. What can I do?
Well, defense attorneys could share motions with other defense attorneys all over the country. I ran into a judge the other day who I saw on the baseball field. Her son was playing baseball. My son was playing baseball. And she said to me, your app is going to be amazing. I could speak to another judge in a different city and discuss the law there. You know, it's not just it's free to the end user. And to any college kid that goes away and God forbid something happens while he's at the University of Michigan or he's at Wisconsin University and something happens, and he doesn't want to let his parents know, he go to jammedup.com, find whoever you need. And, you know, go on spring break, you get caught drinking, go on jammedup.com, they'll give you 10 lawyers in Daytona or in San Pedro Island in Texas. It's just a great tool. It's a great app that's definitely going to be used. I've seen apps out there that are not used. This app will be used.
So I guess we can get that at any of the apps, you know, the app store for iPhones?
Well, it'll be rolled out in July. We're working on the app day and night. The online legal web service is out there now called jammedup.com. Any professional could sign up for free, claim their profile, and obviously when someone, you know, in the world gets jammed up, they'll be able to find somebody anywhere across the country. And then the app should be out hopefully in July. Right now we are talking to different groups about funding us. A lot of different hedge funds have come forward, and we're working out and trying to negotiate the funding situation now. And I really, in 6 months, really see this blowing up.
Well, we'll look for that the later part of the year then. And right now we can look for the book. It's called The Fixer. Real interesting stuff. It's a whole other world that you don't know about. And it's told by a guy who deals with us every day at the top of his job. We can get The Fixer everywhere, right, Ira?
Yeah, you can get it on Barnes & Noble. You can get it in a lot of local bookstores. You can get it online at Amazon.com. People that read it will love it. I think females will love it. They'll enjoy the action that went on. It's not just the celebrities. It's the everyday grind, and people will really enjoy it.
Thanks, Ira. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, buddy.
When we return, you will meet Lonnie Love, a very popular stand-up comedian and a regular panelist on television and radio talk shows. You're listening to The Stephen Manchi Show.
You're listening to Stephen Manchi, host of one of America's top interview programs, The Stephen Manchi Show.
What would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you knew that you couldn't fail? My name is Logan Reed, and I'm a PCC credentialed life coach, working with people every day who want to know the answers to these questions for themselves and then make it happen. I work with people who are ready to take charge of their life, to leave their unsatisfying job and launch a new career, have the romantic relationship of their dreams, prepare for retirement, experience more joy. I partner with clients to support them in getting clear on what they truly want in life, creating the plan to get there, and taking the action to make it all come to life. If you would like to explore how working together can make your dream life a reality, I invite you to give me a call at 360-529-1848 or write me at logan@loganreedcoaching.com. Want to learn more about who I am and what coaching is? Check out my website at www.loganreedcoaching.com. I look forward to meeting you.
With us now is Lonnie Love, a top comedian. You've seen her on Chelsea lately. Funniest person on the show, in my opinion. She's on CNN, Loveline with Dr. Drew. And she's just written a new book about relationship advice for women called Love Him or Leave Him, But Don't Get Stuck with a Tab. Lonnie, you've been giving relationship advice for some time now. Is it possible for a woman to prepare herself to kind of avoid some of the mistakes that we all seem to make?
Well, you know, you can, but you have to be, as the female, you have to be ready to be prepared for that. And, you know, sometimes, like, when you're in your 20s, you're going to make some mistakes. And then I think it happens around in your late 20s when you decide, you know what, I'm tired of this, and I need to do something. Well, that's when you pick up Love Him or Leave Him, But Don't Get Stuck with the Tab, and you start making some changes in your life.
And I like the book. I mean, it's a fun read. I mean, even from the male perspective, I got to tell you, as one who has a daughter, there's some good advice in there. Do you think in this day and age we need more of that stuff? Because I see, like, there's shows like Girl Code on MTV and so forth. You tried to get a little bit more pragmatic, though, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And I think, you know, the conversation about women and relationships kind of opened up once we saw Sex and the City. That kind of, like, opened up the gates for us to talk about women and dating and sexuality and relationships. And that kind of opened the way. So now you're seeing things like Girl Code. You're getting more books like myself, you know, because usually a book like this wouldn't have been picked up by anybody. But, you know, when I was pitching it, I said, hey, I want to give my advice to females. I'm not saying I'm a relationship expert, but I've been doing comedy and working for over 20 years, and I've been giving advice, and I'm hearing the same questions over and over again that, you know, some are funny, some are serious. Let me, you know, give my version of it, and so this is what's happening.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things, again, because there's so much humor in it, it's a lot of fun to read because it just kind of flows. Now, you know, for example, what do you do if you're in a great relationship? What tips do you give them to keep that strong so, you know, you don't mess it up?
Right. You do certain things in a relationship to keep it fresh and keep it going. You know, you want to, you know, support your man and surprise your man. Do things that, you know, maybe he wouldn't think that you would do. You know, you can surprise him while he's watching football. There are certain things that you can do that's in the book that I say to do that's a little racy, but it's something that's funny and fresh, you know. And I think women nowadays, they're more open to listening to this kind of thing because now no one has said it before, but now it's okay. So that's why I try to put it in the book. And also there are relationship advice that I give to women that's looking for a man. Like I say, make a list. Make a list of what you like from a man. For me, it's simple. You know, I want my man to be tall. I want him to know how to pick out the United States on a map. I want him to be able to sit in a middle seat on a plane so I can sleep on him. Those are my lists, okay? Steven, that's what I like.
Well, and those are reasonable. And a lot of times people think you can't say stuff like that. Oh, we can't limit ourselves to either a physical description or something like that. But when you come right down to it, it is really important to know what you like so you can be honest in the whole idea of trying to find a guy.
Exactly, and that's the thing. When you get, you know, when you're at a younger age and you start dating, I also tell women, multi-date. If you're not married, multi-date. That way you know what you like and what you don't like. And when I say multi-date, I mean multi-date. I'm not saying necessarily have relations, but to actually see what you like in different types of men. And then that way you can pick a better partner. I think, you know, a lot of women, they just stick with one guy to get a boyfriend. They're like, okay, and then they know they don't like something, but until you're married, you can date other people, and that's what you should do.
The other thing is the part that really hit home to me is, you know, from the male side, you watch a lot of the stuff your friends are talking about, going out with women and stuff, and you know that there are a lot of women out there that really allow themselves to be taken advantage of, not just physically, but, you know, emotionally and so forth. And I think your book says, you know, regardless, you know, think of yourself, and you really didn't mean it as a selfish thing so much as, you know, like not care about the other person, but you do have to take care of yourself, right?
Well, that's the one log line, love yourself first, that I try to put throughout the book without being preachy about it. It's just that so many women, if they get someone, they have this fear of, I'm going to lose him, so I got to do whatever he says. And it's like, no, believe that there are plenty of fish in the sea and there's someone out there for you. But, you know, you got to love yourself first, because when you love yourself first, you'll pick the right person and you'll be happy. And that's what I try to say throughout the book.
And also, you also push the point that, you know, trust your intuition. I mean, there's so many women that they know that the guy's fooling around on them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they hope that they're wrong, so they just kind of look the other way. You got to be honest with yourself, right?
Definitely. You have to be honest with yourself. And a lot of women aren't, because they're afraid, I'll be lonely. There'll be nobody else for me. I mean, there are plenty of ways to, you know, you don't want to be embarrassed. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I hate to bring it up now, but what Anthony Weiner is going through. And, you know, there were reports that his wife was blaming herself. No, that's him, girl. See, she needs girlfriends around her. See, I'm going to send her my book because she needs somebody to give her some real good advice. It has nothing to do with you. That's what he likes to do. So you need to, you know, either talk to him and say, you got to stop this, or you're going to have to make a hard decision, which is to leave him.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, you see, you know, her story, of course, Hillary Clinton's story. Is it time now for women, you know, at the big level, you know, by that I mean, you know, out there in front of the press and so forth like that, to sit there and call these people on it, not necessarily even divorce them, but as you say, if you're going to accept it, then just come out and say you accept it, but kind of don't just sit there and kind of look like, well, I'm going to stand behind them and kind of just hide yourself, you know?
Well, that's the thing that makes me angry with these women. You have so many young women that's looking at them going, see, she hung in there. She's not happy. No woman is happy when she knows her man is doing something crazy or with some other woman. Let's not act like that's the case. You know what I mean? So it's like you really have to make some hard decisions. And I think women should inspire men. You don't have to tell him what to do, but you should inspire him to be a better person. And if you know this kind of stuff is going on, then you need to find a way to work it out with your marriage. Or if it doesn't work out, then you need to leave and find something better.
Yeah, well, it's a great book. Folks, you're going to have a lot of fun with it. It's called Love Him or Leave Him, but don't get stuck with the tab. Lonnie, I guess it's everywhere right now, right?
Yes, it's everywhere. You can order it online. And I really appreciate the time, Stephen, really. And I really appreciate you actually looking through the book. I appreciate it.
No, it's a lot of fun, I got to tell you. And if you're a guy, it's good to know. You know, you gotta know what the other side's thinking, too. And it's just good common sense. So anyway, thanks for being with us today, Lonnie. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen.
Well, that's it for today's show. Remember to check out our website, StephenMaggiShow.com. It's there that we archive all our old shows and interviews, so you never miss a thing. This is The Stephen Maggi Show.
Visit us at Stephen with a V, M-A-G-G-I, show.com. This is The Stephen Maggi Show.